probably an answer out there, but I don't know why the Republican and Democratic parties are donkey and elephant, respectively, or vice versa.
Yeah, that's something I've never really understood.
I think there is like a specific reason why they did that, but I don't know. They should have an animal that embodies what they stand for.
Yeah. I always thought that it was like, you know how there's like attack ads and like anti...
Like, hey, they're a bunch of donkeys.
Yeah.
That like, makes more sense.
I always thought it was like an insult because like...
Like you're stubborn like
donkeys
a donkey.
And elephants aren't like the animals that you really want to be like associated with.
What animal would you want to be associated with?
Maybe like a dolphin.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because they're smart.
And you're like jumping out of the water and they look all majestic. Like, that's I feel true. Like a dolphin or like a...
You look good painted on the side of a van.
Yeah. I feel like they should be like a lion and a tiger.
Oh, that's too close though.
No, because they look totally different.
Yeah, but they're both big cats.
True.
And I like both of them. So I guess every animal, well, pretty much every animal's a capitalist, right? Like cheetahs are capitalists.
Are they?
They don't have welfare systems for people.
True.
They're like, I want that meat. I eat it. It's mine now.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
You got it? Nope, mine now.
In for themselves. Yeah. Most predators are, yeah.
Yeah, they're all capitalists. So I think that could be any one of them.
Mm.
I'd want to be like a bonobo. They're as close to socialist animals as we have.
Mm. The other thing I was thinking was that they were a donkey and an elephant because people, they didn't want them to like... make their decision based on the animal.
Oh.
Although out of donkey and elephant, I'd say elephant's better. So, I don't know, maybe...
You like some charismatic megafauna.
Megafauna?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's what big animals.
Oh.
Megafauna.
I thought fauna was like leaves.
That's flora.
Oh.
Megaflora would be a big tree, big plants.
Wow. Okay, well, I am learning so much.
They always talk about like when you're raising money for charities, you get some charismatic megafauna because people don't care about like... Oh, this species of slug is going to go extinct. Like, I don't give a fuck about that. What about this lion?
Yeah.
I care about that.
I care about that.
It's charismatic megafauna. This is a podcast about movies and stuff, though.
Not about animals.
Okay, let's start it off.
Excellent.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of I Love This, You Should Too. My name is Indy, charismatic megafauna, Randawa, and with me is my... lovely and talented co-host. Look out, everyone. It's Samantha, elephant or donkey, Randawa.
I choose elephant.
Good choice.
I don't know which party that is, though.
Well, now you have to vote for them. There you have it.
But Samantha, I can't legally vote in the state.
Is a Republican. I am 95% sure Republicans are the elephants. All right, well, we are going to each have a spoiler-free thing of the week, and then Sam's going to let us know what we're watching for next week's Big Watch.
And we've got a new theme.
Oh, I'm excited for it.
Yeah.
But let's kick it off. Sam, what's your thing of the... I keep saying thing of the week because it sounds so good, but it's every 2 weeks. Thing of the fortnight.
Yeah.
What do you got?
So my thing of the fortnight is the book Happy Place by Emily Henry. It is... a kind of like fun summary novel because it takes place at a beach house on a lake. But it does have some like pretty emotional storylines. So it's about Harriet and Wynne who met in college and everyone thinks they're the perfect couple of their friend group. And they broke up and still haven't told any of their friends. And this cabin that they go to every summer is being sold. And so they decide to have one more trip to the cabin before they tell their friends. So they pretend to be together.
You know, it'd be crazy if they were pretending to be together. And then they start like feeling those old emotions. There's some comfort there, but it almost rekindles things. And then they're not sure. Like, wait, do I really want this to be over? But that would be crazy.
Yeah, that would be crazy. It would be so crazy. But it does bring up some of their old feelings as well as some of their old dislikes about each other.
Right.
And they end up at kind of a boiling point while still trying to convince their friends that they're still together. So it's really interesting because there's like kind of two storylines going on. There's like them with their friends and then there's them sharing a room in this cabin. And like remembering the good times, but also remembering the bad times. So it's like, it's kind of a fun little plot. So if you are looking for something fun and a little bit emotional, you can check out Happy Place by Emily Henry.
Has this been turned into a movie or did I just see a movie that is similar?
I don't believe it's been turned into a movie. It just came out April of last year. So I'd be very surprised if it was already a movie.
I was going to say, well, then somebody ripped off this author. But I think I saw this movie years ago. So maybe she ripped that off. But I guess that's not whole premise. You can do a lot of different things.
I think that's a pretty common premise in like romance novels of that kind of thing. So I found it really fun. It was a pretty easy listen, and it was quite entertaining.
Nice.
Awesome.
Did you ever pretend to be in a relationship with someone?
No, I've never done that.
I don't know. For some reason, I thought maybe you got into some sort of weird sitcom situation where to keep a friend's secret and not out him, you had to pretend to be the girlfriend in front of his grandma, who's real conservative.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I've never pretended to be in a relationship. I've pretended not to be in a relationship.
Oh, that sounds sketchy. Wait, what happened? Now I need to know.
I just...
Are you pretending right now?
No. Okay. This is real. No, I was just dating one of my friends, and it was like kind of a bad idea to begin with, and they were probably right, but we decided to date behind their backs.
Oh, your friends wouldn't approve.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Because they didn't want people in our friend group dating each other.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah. I don't know.
Was this like high school?
It was like right after high school.
Okay.
Like
we sounds like very high school.
Yeah. It was very high school. These were all like high school people too. So, But yeah, that's the only time. Have you ever pretended to be in a relationship?
Oh, sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because sometimes just saying like, I'm not into you is meaner than if you already have a female best friend that they see you with all the time. You're like, oh, but you know, I'm with this person here.
True.
And you know that they're going to play along with it. Then, yeah, I've done that a couple of times.
I've had someone at like the bar, like a guy friend who I wasn't dating, pretend to be my boyfriend to get me away from someone who just like couldn't take the hint. That
there
I
you
wasn't
go.
Interested.
Yeah.
That's like I've had I've that. I've had that where he like put his arm around me and like walked me away from this person and pretended to be my boyfriend all night.
I did have one time where we broke up, and it was like as good of a breakup as there could be, but we had planned a trip.
With all your best friends?
No, but it was did involve going to a wedding.
Oh.
And we were like, you know what? Let's do it. And we went and we were like broken up for 2 weeks and then we were together for 4 days and then we're like, okay, that was nice. Goodbye. And we actually left at way better terms, almost.
It was like a final, we had like a last hurrah.
Yeah, it was quite nice. I didn't mind that.
That's nice. I like that. Yeah. I feel like I've seen a lot of, like the trope is like enemies to lovers that involve a wedding, where you like have to go with this person or you're like a bridesmaid and you have to hang out with the groomsmen that you hate. And it's like, how will they ever get along? So, Andy, what's your thing of the fortnight?
All right. My thing of the fortnight is threefold because it is the Creed trilogy.
Oh.
So Creed is a series of movies, boxing movies, I guess. Are you familiar with these movies at all?
They've got Michael B. Jordan in them.
Right.
Yes. And they're all very sweaty during them.
That is also true.
And there's lots of punching.
Yeah.
And like taped up wrists?
Well, that's a boxing thing. You tape your hands under your gloves.
Okay. That's all I know, though.
Have you seen any Rocky movies?
I have not. I have seen the scene where he like runs up the stairs and then like dances at the top of the stairs.
Yeah, he does a little dance.
Yeah, he does. What else do you call it when you throw your hands in the air?
I think he jumps. I think he jumps up and down.
He jumps. I considered it was dancing.
Yeah, well, he threw his hands in the air and I think he might have waved them around like he just didn't care.
That's my favorite dance.
So the Creed movies are a sequel to the Rocky series. Mm-hmm. And the first one, stars Michael B. Jordan, was directed by Brian Coogler, who I like a lot. He did Fruitvale Station, which we have done on this podcast, but lots of other things. Black Panther is probably his most famous one, but he often works with Michael B. Jordan. And this one is, I think it's a great reboot or sequel, however you want to call it, because it takes what we love from the original, being the Rocky series, but it appropriately updates it. And in this one, Rocky doesn't take over the movie. He's kind of a father figure to Michael B. Jordan's character of Creed. And he's also getting the relationship that he had wished he had had with his son. So there's a lot of father-son stuff, but that comes up in part two a lot more. And a lot of it's about the importance of names and legacy and what we feel we need to live up to, the pressure we put on ourselves, the pressure our parents put on us. And this character is Apollo Creed, who is in Rockies 1, 2, and 4, I think. He might appear in some other ones, but he's definitely in those ones. He's the one of the main characters in 1 and 2. And this is his illegitimate son, who is named Adonis Creed. But he goes...
That's a name.
Well, his name was Apollo. Yeah. He names his son Adonis.
Yeah.
And he goes by the name Donnie Johnson for most of the movie because... that's his mother's name, and he doesn't have that relationship with his father, but he also doesn't feel up to the standard of the name Creed. And that's kind of a big thing about him, like, earning his name. And we had to give a bit of a shout out to Carl Weathers,
yes,
who plays Apollo Creed, because last night, pretty late at night, I gave you a big speech about how Carl Weathers was great.
May he rest in peace.
Rest in peace. He died not too long ago while we were recording this. And I just rewatched Predator, and I was like, man, I forgot that Carl Weathers was like a huge jack dude for a while.
He's an action star.
He played in the NFL. He played in the CFL. He was in the Rocky movies. He was hilarious in Happy Gilmore, which we just watched not too long ago, and in Arrested Development.
Yeah.
He's a good singer. He's just a really talented guy. And rest in peace.
Yeah.
Carl Weathers. Watch some of his movies.
I learned an appreciation for Carl Weathers, but I also learned that most football players don't have a bunch of stats like all the big names do.
Yeah, well, you're a lineman. It's a whole different thing. But we've talked about football enough on this podcast over the last couple
Very
of weeks.
True.
So there's great performances in this movie. Michael B. Jordan was great. Stallone was good. He's very good in this. And Stallone is, man, I have some issues with him.
He like doesn't move his mouth when he talks, right?
I think he does. He might move it too much.
Oh.
You know what? I'm not sure.
He's got like weird Batman voice though.
No.
Am I thinking of someone else?
I think you're thinking of someone else.
Okay.
He's the if there is a bad impression of him, it's slurring your words.
Okay,
not...
that's kind of what I was thinking.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. That's him. Got it.
That's my Stallone. He's good in this. Felicia Rashad, who, you know, I love. She is very good in this as Creed's mom or adopted mom. Yeah, because he, that's a whole nother. I'm not going to give that away. And Tessa Thompson is in this as the love interest. And she is very good. She gets more of a character than love interest got in the Rocky series. So that's nice to see. And she performs music in this. She's a musician. And I can't remember which movie it was in, but I started listening to just the music that she made for this, and it's good.
Oh.
Maybe if I get around to it, we'll put in a little clip of her right now. Got you right where I want. I can see it all. Don't hold back, keep coming. No, I don't wanna stop. I like it when you Well, the score is something different because she performs on stage.
Oh, and she's like singing.
Yeah, music. She's a singer in this.
Sorry,
and like a musician of all sorts of stuff. But the score is very interesting because it's owing so much to Rocky, and Rocky is one of the most famous themes of all time, probably in your top five.
Yeah,
and so they have to like pay homage to that, but they update it, and that's kind of interesting how they do that. But this one, Creed. It's good. It captures so much of what made the first Rocky movie great, but in a new way. It's a nice update for it. It's a great example of what a reboot can and should be because it remains true to the spirit of the source material, but doesn't just recreate it like I feel like a lot of movies do. And then it does get into some interesting themes about the different facets of identity, of masculinity, this bravado that you see, especially in your more masculine sports like boxing, and then the cracks within that facade. So it explores some interesting stuff. So I definitely recommend the first one. The second Creed 2, was directed by Stephen Caple Jr., who's someone who I wasn't familiar with, but this is a good one. This movie has to do even more with masculine identities, about who we think we are and coming to terms with who we actually are, and does a lot of father-son stuff. And it probably pays a little too much tribute to the Rocky movies. In a lot of ways, it's more of a sequel to Rocky 4 than it is to Creed Part 1. And I think those parts are maybe the weakest. But we get some insights into Ivan Drago, who was the character in Rocky 4, and the relationship with him and with his son and those characters is really satisfying. So I know it's a lot of pandering, but they do it pretty well, so I'm not too upset about it. It deals a lot with confronting narratives that are put on you and how people allow others to define them and create their own identities based on what others say. And here we see Dolph Lundgren, who played Drago in Part 4. He's an old man, and his former life as a prize fighter is gone, and the Soviet Empire has crumbled and turned their backs on him, and he's this failure and is showing what his life is, and it's not a good life. And this actor named Florian Muntanu, I think his name is, he's in some other things, but he always just plays like a giant guy, because he's a giant guy. He plays the son. He has this immense physical presence in the movie that is very impressive and overpowering, but he has a good solid performance to go along with it. And this one had too much involvement from Stallone, and you can tell there's too much Stallone in this movie, and he is like an egomaniac. And the stories I could talk about of Stallone in the making of these movies and just in all the other stuff, you'd be like, that's not something a human would ever think, but Stallone is, he's wild. He's insane. So a lot of this was because of him, and not the good parts, usually the bad parts. But yeah, if you love Stallone, there's a good bit of him in Part 2. And then in Part 3, Michael B. Jordan is actually directing now. So he is the lead and the director, and he wanted to get away from all of the Rocky stuff, because the movie's called Creed, right, after all. And then Stallone put out this big thing, like, I don't like where this movie's going. It does not have my seal of approval. I will not appear in it, because this is not what a Rocky movie is. And it's not a Rocky movie. It's a Creed movie.
It's an Apollo movie.
But anyways, there's some really good performances in Part 3 as well. Jonathan Majors as Dame, which is like his old friend who has kind of resurfaced. I think Jonathan Majors, it turns out he's like a bad guy in real life. I'm not sure about that, so I don't know about actors outside of what I see on screen. But Michael B. Jordan has more confidence than someone like Stallone, so he's willing to surround himself with great actors and not feel intimidated by them. Stallone famously wouldn't want to be on screen with people who he thought were better actors than him. But there's some really interesting character stuff from Creed and how what happened in his past and how that informs his insecurities that we see today. His love interest, who's a musician, I always forget her name, but as Tessa Thompson, and she is going through hearing loss and how that's affecting her life, because she made her living as a musician, and now she's having to transition into a production role because she can't do what she used to do. Similarly, but maybe less dire, Creed is kind of retiring and is not a fighter anymore, but is kind of a brand at this point because he was so big. But of course, in this movie, he's going to get pulled back into the ring for one last fight.
Yeah.
And the direction in this was a bit uneven, a bit typical. It's not bad by any stretch, but after some of the really good direction in one, and I think two as well, but especially one, it doesn't hold up as well. It feels a little too much tell over show. And then there's like your big final fight, like you have in all of these movies. A lot of people have very strong feelings about it because he did something. He went for something.
Right.
And I don't even have strong feelings about, like, why would you do that? I just didn't think it was terribly well done compared to some of the other ones. But still pretty good overall, because there's some great performances, great characters in it. Overall, I think the Creed series, pretty solid. These were my movies to watch when I was working out. So they are great for that, because you just want to watch a bunch of big, like, jack dudes, right? That's your inspiration.
Oh, for gym, yeah.
Yeah. And then they do training montages. So then when you're feeling tired, you're like, well, they had this inspirational music and they're doing all the lifting. So yeah, I guess I could a little bit too. So they were really good for that. And I think they do explore a lot more than most sports movies do. And definitely more than the Rocky movies did. Even though I did like
many of those as well. They're a lot more subtle, maybe more nuanced, and the villains are a great example of that, because each villain in this is pretty sympathetic. Like, you get where they're coming from, and they have a good point too. But when you start introducing all of these kind of shades of gray, the strength of the sports movie, or at least the Rocky franchise, is everything can be fixed by winning one fight, right? You win that last thing and all the problems are solved. That seems way less realistic now because they're bringing the nuance of the real world into it.
Right.
So then when you have the solution of, well, you win the fight and everything's fine now, it doesn't seem appropriate. So it's almost too good for its own good at some points. If it were more simple, maybe you'd be more forgiving of like, yeah, he won the fight, so the end, or he lost the fight, so the end.
Because there's that like fantasy part of winning that fight and having everything be okay. This sounds like a very realistic movie. And so you lose that like fantasy element of like, one more time and like, you can do it, just push hard and you can win the life of your dreams.
So when you start bringing in nuanced, realistic characters, it starts showing you how cliche a lot of sports cliches are.
Oh, yeah.
So that's, I guess, a downside, but I think that's an upside because they're bringing in some good character work into these movies. So if you like a good sports movie, if you like a good feel-good story, some of them are that. And if you need a movie to watch while you work out, I would recommend all of the Creed movies.
Get your reel going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? That's... Honestly, I was doing my best work in the gym when those movies were on.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe you need to watch them again.
I might. I need to find another series where I can just ogle jacked dudes. Although I did watch Predator last week with Carl Weathers.
That's what you're doing in the basement.
Yeah. I'm like, look at me. I'm going to get ripped like Apollo Creed. All right, Sam. What's enough talk about getting ripped? Let's find out what we are watching for next week's Big Watch. What do you got for us?
So we are going to be watching a movie that has Reese Witherspoon in it. Jennifer Coolidge.
Oh, she's in like so many movies. That could be anything.
True. Luke Wilson.
Luke Wilson?
Yeah. Selma Blair.
Oh, well, I definitely know what era this movie is from now.
Indie favorite, Linda Cardellini.
Linda Cardellini?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Ali Larter.
I remember that name, but that seems... Ooh, now I'm thinking it's even earlier than I thought. Oh, Selma Blair, too.
Raquel Welch.
Raquel Welch? Holy shit.
Victor Garber and Mooney the Chihuahua.
Mooney the Chihuahua. Are we watching Beverly Hills Chihuahua?
We are not. We are watching the 2001 romantic comedy Legally Blonde.
Legally Blonde.
I thought this month we should do a legal theme.
All right, so next week we'll each do...
Legal things of the week? Yeah.
We won't do illegal things, you mean?
No, we'll do law-themed things of the fortnight.
Okay. And then my next movie will be somehow law-based. Related to the law. But not law enforcement.
No.
Lawyers.
Lawyers.
Lawyers and courtrooms.
Yes.
Is that our theme going forward?
It's like courtroom is our theme, I think. Yeah.
Okay. So when is Legally Blonde from?
2002?
Okay. Based on the actors, that was my guess.
So it stars Reese Witherspoon as the famous Elle Woods. And I feel like this is like another Mean Girls style movie where you can't live in the world and not have heard many, many quotes from this movie.
I don't think I've actually seen this.
Really?
I kind of assumed I did.
That was my next question, because...
I might be thinking of Beverly Hills Chihuahua.
Different movie. Mooney might have been in it.
I feel like Jennifer Coolidge is probably in that, too.
Probably. She's in everything from this time period.
Because when you tell me about this movie, I'm like, oh yeah, it's Reese Witherspoon. She's wearing pink. Yeah. She has a Chihuahua in her hand. Yeah. I know that movie. But I think I might just be thinking of the poster. Because when you started listing the other people, I usually have a good memory for actors, and I don't remember seeing any of them.
Oh, okay.
And I also couldn't tell you a single thing about what happens in the movie, so I think I haven't actually seen it.
Oh, I'm excited. I assume that you would have seen it at some point.
I assumed I had, too.
But I'm like actually really excited that you haven't seen this, because that's kind of rare.
Huh. Yeah, I am like 90% sure I haven't seen it. I'll be able to tell you within the first 2 minutes of watching it, but I don't think I have.
Okay, well, do you want to hear a brief synopsis?
Can I guess?
Sure.
Or do you hate when you do
it? I hate when you do this because you always ruin the movie then. You're too good at guessing.
So she question. Is she a student in this movie or is she a lawyer?
She's a student.
Oh, okay.
Kind of both.
Okay. So she is in law school.
Yes.
And she is, people don't take her seriously because she is, wears lots of pink, because I know that from the poster.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they think she's like vapid and dumb and coasting on her looks. But in reality, she's actually very capable. And there has to be one big trial. I'm not going to guess at what the big trial is. But it has to be something that she does some sort of investigative work. Or she is the one that's the linchpin to save something. Community center, person going to jail. I don't know. But it has to be on the side of saving someone, not condemning someone. So she's probably not a prosecutor. She's probably a defender because that would be harder for us to like her. And yeah, that's my pitch. I'm going to stop talking, but... Is that why you put all the lights pink?
Yes, that is why we are podcasting in pink light.
Can we not? It's messing with me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, not right now, but in the future.
No, I can change it right now.
Do you want to give your synopsis or is that enough?
No. So the story follows Elle Woods, a sorority girl who attempts to win back her ex-boyfriend by getting a law degree at Harvard Law School.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Oh. That's not what I was expecting.
Yeah.
There's no big trial? I thought there'd be a big trial.
Well, that's not the end of the movie. I just didn't want to like ruin the
sure.
the plot of the movie since you haven't seen it. If you had seen it, we could have talked a little bit more about it. But we do like to keep this episode spoiler free. So I think this was one of those movies that I saw on a Friday night with my friends in junior high. I'm pretty sure. Because we like pretty much every Friday night, that was like the thing that we did. So I feel like this and Bring It On and like this is like the era of these like romantic comedy kind of movies that made me kind of fall in love with going and seeing movies.
In the past, you had said like, oh, I don't want to watch that because I'm scared it's not going to be good. Do you have that concern with this one? Or you seem more confident in this?
So I will admit that I watched this a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
Just to like...
And you
check.
Loved it.
It was so much fun. It was just like, it's light and fluffy and bubbly and pink and it's chihuahuas. It's just a good time.
All right. Well, I'm excited for that.
Yeah.
How many times do you think you've seen this movie?
Oh, I feel like this is one that like pops up on my Netflix every so often. And I'm like, yeah, I could watch Legally Blonde. So I think I've probably seen it like 20 times.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Or at least like parts of it, because it's like also sometimes on TV or like, yeah.
I think there's only one or two movies I've ever seen that much.
Maximum Overdrive.
Yep.
And
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Christmas like, Eve every year.
What is it called? The Christmas one. Okay. Well, I hope that you like this one because it is a classic, classic romantic comedy for me.
I'm excited.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, we will be back next week when we find out what Indy really thought of Legally Blonde. Okay, we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Guess I'm a donkey.
I'm a bonobo.
What a bonobo.
They're great.
Bonobo. What's a bonobo?
It's a primate. They're... very peaceful and nice. They're studied because of how they work in their societal structures are different than a lot of other animals because I think they're as close to socialists as we have.
Well, they're kind of scary looking when they're babies.
So are we.
True. Well, you bonobo, you ready?
Sure am, you elephant. That doesn't sound good if I call
no,
you that.
No, I guess I'm a donkey.
Sure. I'm ready, you donkey. Sounds like Gordon Ramsay.